Welcome to the Inner Trends Podcast. Welcome to the future of mobility. Simply stay on track. Welcome to our fifth episode of the Inner Trends Podcast. Today we have one of the key players of railway in the US market. In our interview today is Regina Beringer from Cummins. And first of all, as usual, I welcome on show now Kerstin Schulz, Director of Inner Trends. Hi Kerstin, how are you doing?
Hi Tim, I'm fine. How are you?
Well, actually, I'm really excited. Again, it is really exciting. And we want to present today to our audience something that is a bit unique, actually, at InnoTrans, because as you all know, we got a new, we got a new hall, Hub 27, and we got a lot of space here, a lot of really plenty of exhibitors. And sometimes I even wonder how to find the latest trends that I really care about or that are interesting for me. And Kerstin, InnoTrans has something for the trade visitors.
Yeah, right. We have a program which is really bite-sized for participants and for visitors and especially for journalists, because when you are a journalist, you have to search for the world innovations in 42 halls, which is pretty much exhausting. It's a lot. And therefore, we have that special program. You go on a world innovation tour and you get presented the world innovations from one hand, actually. So it's much easier.
And we also have our guide, because, you know, some people like tours. It's like tourism. It's like, I mean, 42 halls. That is like a little city trip, actually, if you're going on a trip with the guy with the umbrella. So
yeah, we always say you need always sneakers when you visit InnoTrans.
That's true. That's true. But we also got, for the people who are like more individual, I want to do it on my own. I want to be like the pioneer, the if you want to be like Christoph Columbus and find out things, discover is the word, discover InnoTrans on your own, but with a guide. We also got the word innovation guide, actually. That is a little booklet, I would say, where you find the latest trends. And I also invite all the exhibitors of InnoTrans 2022 to apply for participating. You find that on our InnoTrans Press website soon. And Kerstin, we have today a guest from a big country that is a really important market. And you told me before our recording, actually, a little bit funny story. Would you mind sharing it with our listeners?
Yes, of course. When we were in America for the first time presenting InnoTrans on another trade fair, we had a booth at the other trade show, and there were visitors coming and saying, "Hey, what are you producing?" And I said, "Yeah, we don't produce products. We are a trade show." "Yeah, but what are your products actually?" And I said, "Yeah, we organize a show. It's a little bit bigger than this one." And they said, "Yeah, okay." And then the year after, we were again at a trade show in America. And then there were people coming up saying, "I want to go to that thing. It's so huge." And that was really kind of breakthrough. And then it started that the American industry came over to InnoTrans more and more. And we have a good relationship with the American Association. So it went pretty well.
And I mean, the US is, for me, I always, when I hear, people tend me to tell me to not say that so often, like I did on our podcast with colleagues from Swissrail. But when I think of the US, I think of always the aim to be bigger somehow, as to get like more. And as you just mentioned, we got 42 halls actually here at our InnoTrans Fairground. And you need to have an eye-catching item, actually, to present yourself at your booth. And our today's guest has something special to, or let's say remarkable, to be eye-catched by the people.
Yeah, it's really amazing. When you go to a trade show and you go into a hall and you look from above to the hall, then you see a red motor and you think, it's Cummins. Immediately. You know, there's a red motor. It's like Ferrari. You know, there's a red motor, and this is Cummins. This is really amazing. It's so remarkable.
So it's Cummins. It's also now our time to say it's coming because we got now Cummins actually in the interview. Kerstin, thank you so much for the interview. We are back actually next month with the German Aerospace Center, but more to that later. Kerstin, goodbye.
Bye bye. Thank you.
So now we have our interview. Today's guest is Cummins. Cummins is a leading global independent engine manufacturer and is a company with complementary business units that design, manufacture, distribute, and service diesel and gas engines and related technologies, including fuel system controls, air handling, filtration, emission solutions, and power generators. And I welcome now on show Regina Beringer, General Manager. Hi.
Tim, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
That sounds like you have plenty of really interesting topics actually on your table, on your desk, actually. So many different topics your company is actually dealing with. And you've been working at Cummins for more than 20 years. That's plenty, a lot. And imagine you could be in a different profession. Maybe you could be an author. If you could write a book that was guaranteed to be a bestseller, what would you write actually?
That is a great question. I actually think I would write a storybook, maybe a short storybook about different people that I've met throughout my life. I often find inspiration in the challenges that I face in my personal life and the challenges that I see my family, friends, coworkers go through, where they've worked really hard to overcome a situation with determination and just an optimism that's inspiring. And I think throughout my whole life, I've seen people, you know, just make the best of opportunities, and I really build upon those and take them into personal inventory and use those as inspiration for myself. And I think a collection of those inspirational stories of optimism and determination would be something people would embrace and enjoy.
That actually sounds like it could be really a bestseller. What would you name it actually? Do you have some kind of title? Because it was really you have it was really detail rich information you just mentioned. Is there a title maybe?
You know, I hadn't thought that far, Tim. That's putting me on the spot a bit, but I mean, it's kind of that challenging road. So I would have to come up with something, you know, about a pathway to you know, something better. So I don't have anything creative for you, but I certainly can feel that there would be something rich there. And I agree. I'm actually an English major. That was my undergrad. So maybe I thought about it longer than before the question, you know. So
Oh, it's really cool. It's really, really, really cool. And I think that the main spirit you just mentioned about change and always having to, I don't know, to get on a next level, to co-op with new issues coming up, that is maybe also a great lead to our interview now. And to the first question, how does the rail fit into the overall transportation industry? You're an expert. You worked for Cummins for more than 20 years. So you've seen a lot of challenges, I guess, over the past 20 years.
yeah, rail is just an integral part of moving people and goods in one of the most efficient and effective, you know, cost reduced, emissions controlled ways. So it's an effective way to put together things that need to be moved, whether that's people or goods, and just streamlining that process. And it actually then can take congestion out of cities or suburbs or areas where there's high transport already. So this is an effective way to be able to do that. And the technology that's available in the industry is actually making that to become one of the most fuel efficient and emissions reduced options as well. So it's just a great mode of transportation that fits very well into our overall ecosystem and working toward those sustainability goals that we're all after.
So as you just said, there is a lot of potential actually also. You worked as business development manager. So maybe we could talk about some general future predictions here. How is your company, how's Cummins staying ahead the curve in the rail?
It's a great question. So when we think about Cummins and how we fit into the rail landscape, we actually recognize that folks may see us as a longstanding diesel company, but Cummins has made some very significant investments in different and alternative technologies over the past several years that really start putting us in a space where our performance and sustainability are cutting edge to the customer. So we're looking forward to bringing that to this industry and staying ahead of that, in fact, that curve, if you will, and offering the type of technology that gives customers the choices that they're looking for in terms of innovation and sustainability, reliability. So we're really focused on that with our portfolio of products available to rail.
So that's actually brilliant for us here at InnoTrans. And the next question, I would simply just go on with that. So what trends do you see coming in rail, and how are you preparing for them? Maybe for InnoTrans 2022.
Right. So, I mean, just thinking exactly, and I hope we get to see each other in person. I just would say that, you know, from an emissions standpoint, it's just this continued focus on sustainability, cleaner and healthier and safer planet. And we're all looking at, you know, the architecture choices, the technology choices that bring this to the forefront. And I hear and see customers, you know, companies globally thinking about how do I contribute to these overall sustainability goals? And so in rail, we see this coming to the forefront where, you know, end users are placing upon themselves sustainability goals that may be even more above and beyond what are required, right? They're looking at how do I, as a company, you know, look at my inventory, my assets, my overall contribution to global emissions and make choices that improve and reduce and just, you know, further enhance sustainability. So cleaner emissions, this is just a key theme, sustainability, key theme, and looking at options to become cleaner and more fuel efficient and even get to zero emissions with some time. And then in terms of, you know, like developing products, offering solutions that give customers those choices. We know that customers are in different spaces in their portfolio of products, and they may need a range of solutions and are keeping their eye on that zero emissions target. So how do I get there? What do I need to be doing? So as we look at the Cummins portfolio, we're keeping that in mind in terms of what our rail customers need. And how do we walk from a diesel emissions type, like a tier 4 type solution, all the way through to a hydrogen or zero emissions type solution? So those products are super important to meeting those emissions targets that and sustainability goals that companies have in mind. And then just further to that, you know, what can we do to continue to optimize in this space, whether that's a digital or maintenance type solution that just continues to enhance and improve efficiency, because we know that customers need to optimize, you know, their total cost of ownership, their life cycle cost. This is very important. So those kinds of targets in mind.
So this is like we spoke before in our podcast with like Siemens Mobility or for Turbo, so European based companies, and we always had the feeling that this mindset towards zero emission is getting stronger and stronger. So as we just speak, I feel that the US, the global leader or the leader in the US market, also aiming for that goal. So let me ask you, your company is like, say, I don't want, it has been in the rail sector for quite a long time. So you are like, in German, we would say, oh, Altes Eisen, that means that you've been there for ages and you are like a stone. You are like really in the scene, actually. So what developments actually do you see for the future for rail, and how are you preparing for it for your market, for the international market?
I think that's a great question. And, you know, in terms of how we're preparing for it, I want to go back to just this understanding and recognition several years ago that, you know, there is a huge requirement from our customers to have alternatives to diesel to meet those zero emissions requirements. Mm-hmm. So building out our portfolio in terms of adding battery, hybrid, hydrogen capability, hydrogen storage, hydrogen production, you know, that hydrogen supply chain, being able to support alternative technologies that really give our customers the choices that they're looking for to achieve zero emissions. And we know that zero emissions products are, as you mentioned, most everyone is talking about how do I get to zero emissions. So our ability to broaden our scope and our architecture choices, our technology choices for customers has just been critical. And so these, in terms of what the developments are, they're going to need, customers will need architecture choices to continue to reduce emissions from their products. And so as we look at what we have available today, we have solutions that are something that can fit in, you know, products today, where we can also offer, you know, forward-looking solutions for future, you know, locomotives or, you know, developments in trains. So we have prime mover options that offer customer solutions from very low emissions today to zero emission options in the future.
So the demand is pretty strong here over in Europe. And we just spoke with Voigt Turbo at our last InnoTrans podcast episode. We spoke about the future of freight, actually, about how we can shift it from airplanes to the tracks, actually. Mm-hmm. And your company is increasing its presence also there. So where does the future lie for freight, and how are you preparing for it?
So when we think about the QSK95, our 4,000 plus horsepower diesel engine solution.
It sounds really cool, the name. Sorry to interrupt you, but the name sounds really cool. How do you come up with a name? Like, this sounds like a super secret mission.
It fits right into our product naming category 95. It's a 95 liter engine, so it's a very
it's catchy. It's engine. Catchy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We're very proud of it. I actually started with Cummins, as you mentioned, over 20 years ago in the plant in Seymour, Indiana, that produces the QSK95. They manufacture it in Seymour, Indiana, and so it's. I'm very proud to say that I started my career there, and now I'm actually located there again. I've moved to different locations within Cummins in Indiana, and now I'm back in Seymour with the QSK95 being produced right in the same building, which is just fantastic. And in terms of this product, it's perfectly positioned in terms of performance, reliability, and horsepower to meet the requirements of freight. So this product is capable and ready for use case in freight. And then thinking forward and going back to the investments that we've made in options that are alternatives to diesel, you know, hybrid solutions, electric or battery solutions, and hydrogen, you know, thinking forward, as these options are scalable to meet requirements for these types of applications. So we're just being very thoughtful and prepared about our architecture solutions, and understand that customers are looking for a roadmap. And so we're being prepared and talking very openly about our architecture choices and our investment in technology to be able to meet these types of requirements.
All the things you just mentioned, what are the different considerations that go into designing and customizing? You speak a lot about your customers. So the mindset is customer. My opinion, it sounds like it's totally customer focused. How do you design and customize engines for passenger application versus freight?
You know, I would say that in a lot of cases, customers are just, I mean, they have high expectations, very high expectations for quality, performance, reliability, excellent service and support, which we have a fantastic global distribution and service and support network within Cummins. So these are very common requirements across customers. I would say considerations that differentiate maybe in terms of some of the maintenance and operation, some of the duty cycle in terms of how much they push the product or how hard they use the product. So thinking about those things and making sure that we're designing our product to meet the industry standards and requirements for maintenance intervals. And then, you know, also just thinking about The flexibility in adapting the new technologies. Certain markets are more likely to embrace innovative technologies ahead of others. So thinking through how we're, you know, managing and working with customers to meet them where they are in terms of the expectations for the product, and then also introducing the new technologies that make sense as they're ready for those technologies. So just being prepared for those conversations, understanding the industry requirements. And of course, as you said, at the center of all this is the customer. What do they need, you know, from Cummins? And we're prepared to have those conversations and talk about our architectures, our technology, and understand what they may need from us that could differentiate their solution. So those conversations are always open.
Yeah. So let us maybe now talk a bit about the, I would say, elephant in the room, because we always speak now about zero emissions, and we say we have to get this shift to a zero emission railway technology. Actually, let us talk maybe a bit about diesel. Diesel has dominated rail for many decades. So will it continue actually to be relevant?
Diesel has a very long runway. It will be relevant in certain markets and certain subsegments or applications within rail. Mm. So certainly there are areas of the world where there's a clear shelf life, if you will, for diesel, right? Some countries have just made a clear distinction on when they will no longer invest in a diesel power solution. And we completely understand that, which is why we've invested in alternatives to diesel and offering customers these choices. There are certainly areas of the world where diesel will remain very relevant for a very long time, okay, including certain applications, such as if you think about track maintenance or emergency response type vehicles.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, these are required to be self-propelled, independent of a grid or battery or others, such that they can be operated very quickly and on their own without any sort of other dependence. So certainly, there'll be a long runway for diesel.
So, as you just mentioned, you try you try to satisfy the customer demand for zero emission. There's also the long run, but there's also diesel as really proved actually a way of railway technology. What are the new technologies you're developing actually?
Yeah, in addition to investing in alternative solutions around hydrogen and hybrid battery options, we have Preventec as a new product that Cummins has developed as our newest remote engine monitoring and reporting solution. And so it combines engine hardware, digital technologies, data-driven expert analysis to provide proactive recommendations that allow customers to increase their equipment availability, improve safety and reliability, and then enhance operational efficiency.
Sounds like one should see actually that product at InnoTrans 2022, because that sounds really interesting. Maybe it's a nice thing to view actually at a booth. And you're an expert, as mentioned. You've been in that field of business for over 20 years. So what do you suggest? What new technologies are replacing diesel? Electric? Is it hydrogen fuel cells? What are the challenges actually to adopting these new technologies?
Yeah, I think both, you know, you mentioned electric and hydrogen. I see, depending on where you are in the world and you know what your application is, appetite for both of these type of technologies, including hybrid models that may embrace a downsized or smaller version of a diesel engine complemented with like a battery. So you know, the hydrogen technology, it's certainly just launching, right? It's kind of in its infancy still, and you know, we're definitely learning a lot and seeing it in application, but it's still certainly very early. And when you think about how long we've been in diesel, it's 100 years. So these challenges and growing, but certainly we are, moving forward with these technologies. So I think it's just a matter of becoming comfortable with the new technology, but we're certainly seeing it take shape and take hold in certain areas of the world very quickly.
How long do you suggest out of the blue, how long do you suggest will it take to actually get this transformation?
You know, it's a
it's difficult question.
It is
I know
difficult.
It's a difficult
it is difficult
question.
Because we're actually seeing transformation occur now, where we have running trains in certain parts of Germany, right? And so in certain parts of Europe, we're seeing light commuter rail trains already running on hydrogen. So I think it's there. It's just continuing to influence and affect. And I think a lot of people are watching to see how this does and how hydrogen shapes the rest of the world. And certainly people are very interested in watching how things go. But when you say how long, certain areas of the world are already there. And then I would say, depending on your location in the world, your commitment from maybe your you know, local state or government, there may be other commitments around working toward a hydrogen type economy quite quickly. Right. So I think it's upon us. I don't have a you know, a global date, but we're seeing it happen already. So it's upon us.
We now have to get to the last question, actually, because time is running. You just mentioned location. So tell us about the hydrogen fuel cells being used in Germany and the Netherlands. Do you expect them to gain more traction, or what are the limitations and the advantages of hydrogen fuel cells technology, in your opinion?
Yeah, thanks for that, Tim. We're very proud of the, you know, Cummins technology that's powering the Cordia Island. It's the world's first hydrogen passenger train. We're seeing this system, a very effective system, reducing noise and vibration with fast refueling and the ability to turn what were existing like non-electrified railway lines into zero emission lines without costly or long-range electrification infrastructure. Introducing lower maintenance and operating cost expenditures. So overall, just a highly efficient system, and you know, an alternative to the diesel combustion engine, of course. So seeing that improvement immediately in emissions and some other improvements that I mentioned there. I think in terms of, you know, some of the limitations, it's just this technology is very new. So a lot of newness.
It's exciting, actually. Yeah. It's really exciting.
It is. It's very exciting, and we're very proud of it. Yes, thank you.
And we just noticed, because our time is now nearly over, and we just noticed we could keep on talking, actually. We could keep on talking about all these excitement, new ways, or the development, actually. And I guess that is a great, great thing to do at InnoTrans 2022. We're really looking forward to what's happening next. So thank you again, Ms. Sperringer, for the interview. It was a pleasure to welcome you from the US here. I'm sitting in Berlin. It's great. It's great. Thank you thanks that you've been on our show. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim. My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So this was it for today. We had a lot of interesting thoughts, actually, about the future of mobility. And our InnoTrans podcast will be back at the 13th of July with the German Aerospace Center. And if you're curious right now what the German Aerospace Center has to do with the InnoTrans, you gotta tune in again. We are really looking forward to Professor Dr. Siefkes. And till then, we say simply stay on track, and we will hear again. Thank you, and hear you soon.